Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you know, the last time I got up to speak to you, well, the last two times I got up to speak to you, I was asked to give testimony about how awesome God is and what God's been doing in my life. So I just wanted to start off just with a couple more stories for you. Do you know, because those stories were great that happened maybe 2-3 weeks ago. But if I just cling on to those stories, then I'm not going to be moving forward. So do you know what? I want to tell you some news stories, hopefully to encourage you, especially as Joe is talking about God being our provider. So do you know, I don't know if you were here, Matt interviewed me a few weeks ago, and he asked me to just tell you about some stories about how God had provided. Now, if I rewind, say, a week or two before that, we had this conversation in our house, and the conversation kind of went along these lines. Hey, you know we're having a baby? Yeah, good, we know that. Well, you know that we've got 3 bedrooms and we'll have 2 kids, so that means they'll have the other bedroom. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then it was like, hang on a minute, that's my office. And I've just quit work and I'm working at home. What am I going to do? And we thought, we were like, well, could we put it in the living room? Well, there's not really any room. That's not really going to work. Could it go in the conservatory? No, not really, because I don't really fancy destroying my computer when it gets to 40 degrees in the conservatory. So we kind of got to this dilemma of, well, what are we going to do? I haven't got a clue. So we were like, well, I think we need an office. And in the natural, I was like, right, well, let's get this sorted then. So I looked around, looked at where I could get an office. And the place that I really kind of had my eye on was on Fairfield Enterprise Centre. So I went and I had a tour of the offices, and then they gave me the price, and then I went home and cried. And you know, in the natural, there was no way on earth that I could afford to take out an office there. And, you know, through God's blessing, I was offered an office at church, which is great because, you know, that met my needs, which is awesome. Yeah. But not only that, we had this other conversation, which was, do you know what? Diane's going to be at home with the baby. And we kind of always had this plan before we kind of thought through what was going on with the office, that I would be at home to support her a bit more. So we were like, well, there are going to be days when I need to be at home. I need to be able to work from home. Now, I don't have 2 computers. I've just got my 1 computer. It's, you know, it's a desktop computer. I can't carry it around. So that, I need that in my office. So what am I going to do when I get home? So again, in the natural, I was like, right, well, let's see what money's in the bank. Let's see if I can buy a laptop. And I looked, and the laptops that I want, I just couldn't afford. And I left it at that. And then I came that morning, and Matt interviewed me. And at the end of that service, someone came up to me, and they said to me this. They said, while you were speaking, God told me that I had to give you my laptop.
Yeah.
Come on. Excellent. And what an awesome story. And I'd like to point out at this point that I hadn't mentioned that at all when I was being interviewed. And I'd not been going around going, oh, do you know what? I really need a laptop. And I think sometimes we can do that, especially I have this great forum for dropping very good hints. So, you know, every time I get up, I could quite easily go, do you know what? This is what I really need. And that's not really trusting God. That's kind of trusting God and hinting a lot. And I don't want to be that person. Yeah. You know, God, because if I'd have come up here and I'd have told you, well, do you know what? This is what I need. I could look around and I could probably single out 6 people that would probably go, hey, have we got enough money to buy James a laptop? Yeah. And I would probably got a laptop. But that's not how God works. And do you know what? The testimony that comes out from that is not the same testimony. So do you know what? God answered my prayer. And do you know, we regularly now, me and Diane, we sit down and we go, what do we need? And Diane said, you know what? I really need some more maternity clothes. And that same week, someone came along and said, here's a bag of maternity clothes. And the crazy thing was, we looked through this bag of maternity clothes, and Diane said, that's brilliant, but there's one item of clothing that's not in this bag that I really, really need. And a few days later, someone came and they said, I found this, and I don't know if this is any good for you, but I want to give it to you. And it was the exact item of clothing that was missing from the first bag. You know, God is good. God provides our needs. And do you know what? I love being able to tell you these great stories of God just doing great things. So do you know what? There are other things that I need, but I'm not going to tell any of you about it. So if any of you get any promptings, we'll leave it at that, and that's as much as I'm going to say. But yeah, because Because God's amazing. Yeah. And God knows what I need. Yeah. And I know he's going to provide. And that's great. And you know, the second thing, this has got nothing to do with what I'm talking about this morning, but I just wanted to share it with you. The second thing that I've been thinking about this week is, do you ever find it really difficult sometimes to accept the person that God has called you to be? You know, sometimes God's given you this amazing gift and you just, I don't know, maybe it's like a fear of wanting to look big-headed. You don't want to actually go around telling people, yeah, this, do you know what? God's given me this gift. And I really struggle with that. You know, if I'm being perfectly honest with you, what I really struggled with was the time that Joe got up and announced me as Pastor James Cartwright. And for me, I found that quite a difficult thing because I don't necessarily see myself always in that way. And I've come to this realization, do you know what? The more that I actually accept who God has called me to be, the greater these testimonies become. So if I'm confessing this to all of you, do you know what I did for the first time this week, which might seem like a little thing, but for me was a really big thing. This week, I went on and I updated the website. And every week, every month, I put on who's preaching this week. And for the first time ever, I made myself write Pastor James Cartwright. So for me, that's my confessional to you. You know, that's something I don't find easy. But there you have it. So I believe that God will honor me for that because I believe that's what God is calling me, has called me into. Yeah. But it's not a very easy thing, especially if, you know, for the guys on the band, get up. There's nothing more awkward than someone says, oh, you a good guitarist, Paul? And Paul goes, oh, I'm all right. And you think, no, you're not. You're really good, Paul. Yeah. But we don't like saying it very much. So there you go. And I know I'm looking at a few other singers who are just exactly the same. Yeah. We all get it. We all feel like that sometimes. Am I doing a good job? And do you know what? If you're doing what God's called you to do, then he's pleased with you. So there you go. Now, this morning, the topic for this morning is called Committed to Discipleship. And I want to start with a couple of questions. So I need a little bit of participation from you. Okay. So all you've got to do is put your hand up for a few questions. So put your hand up if you're a Christian. Okay. Good. Don't, if you're not, that's fine. You know, no pressure. Great. Put your hand up if you're a disciple. Oh, see the hesitation there. See, I had this thought. Do the two words mean the same thing? That's my question. Are they interchangeable? Could I just describe myself as a Christian? Could I describe myself as a disciple? Do they mean the same thing? We don't really use the word disciple so much. We probably use the word Christian quite a bit. Are they the same thing? So my question for you this morning as I speak is, are you a Christian or are you a disciple or are you both? And I'd like you to just think about that as we carry on. Now, if you've got your notepads, you're going to want to write some of this stuff down. So there's a few things that I want to share with you. The first thing is this. I want to tell you what the word Christian means, okay? So we all put our hand up, said, yeah, I am a Christian. A Christian means I belong to Christ. Yeah. Do you belong to Christ? Because that's what you've just put your hand up to say, okay? But actually, do you know that Jesus never used the term Christian? The first time the word was used was in Acts 11:26, and it says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Okay? So it was probably not a term that Christians made up for each other. They didn't really refer to themselves as Christians. They referred to themselves as disciples. Or saints, we talk about the saints or brothers in Christ. They never called themselves Christians. In fact, the word Christian was most probably a derogatory term used for people who followed the teachings of Jesus. So it was more like being an insult, being called a Christian. And yet you kind of fast forward 2,000 years and we're happy to call ourselves Christians. You see, in 1 Peter 4:16, it says this, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So there's kind of a little hint there that actually people who were called Christians was not a nice term to hear. Right. But we kind of adopted this term and said, yeah, let's call ourselves Christians. And do you know what? It kind of reminds me, if I can use this analogy, of when you got like black people who were very offensive words used to describe them. And then you see more and more in popular culture that, black people, particularly like, you know, rappers and artists and stuff like that, might kind of claim back the N-word, if I can say that, claim back words and say, I'm proud that, this is who I am. And, you know, in the same way, we've got this term Christian, which was not a really nice term. Right. And yet we claim it back and say, I'm proud to be a Christian.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. That's great. So we belong to Christ. So I think that was the one that we probably were all fairly in agreement about. We were quite happy to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Disciple is a different word, and it means a different thing. A disciple is someone who follows. So a disciple is someone who follows the doctrines of someone else or something else. So to be a disciple of Jesus means that we follow the doctrine, the beliefs, the theology, the teachings of Jesus. Now, what I would suggest to you is that probably everyone who's a disciple of Jesus is a Christian, but there might be some people who are Christians who are not necessarily disciples. So are we disciples? Are we proud to say, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower of Jesus? You know, we use the term, and particularly like I find we've used it in the school that I used to work in, we use this phrase, lifelong learner, which is a phrase that we use in popular culture to describe, actually, we all should be people who should be continually wanting to develop and improve ourselves. And what I want to suggest to you is, do you know what? A good disciple is a lifelong learner of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That actually a disciple is someone who's committed to the ongoing development of their knowledge and understanding of Jesus.
Yeah.
And actually, there are a few things that I want to share with you that would make you a disciple. So five things that make you a disciple.
Right.
Number one, you put Jesus first in all things.
Yeah.
It says this in Mark 8:34, and I'm reading from the Message. Calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead.
Yeah.
You're not in the driving seat. I am. Our lives should be focused on Jesus and allow him to take control, to lead us, to guide us. So we should put Jesus first in everything that we do. That's not always an easy thing. In fact, it's usually quite difficult because we've got so many other things pulling us all over the place. But the Bible's pretty clear. If you want to be a disciple, you've got to put Jesus first.
Yeah.
That's right.
Number two, we've got to follow Jesus's teachings. Wes, if he's near. Okay, we've got to follow Jesus' teachings. And it says this. I want to read another verse to you. It says in this, in John 8, 31 and 32. And again, I want to read from the Message. Just found it quite an easy way to explain it. Then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience yourself the truth, and the truth will set you free. We've got to follow Jesus' teachings.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
We've got to be obedient to what he tells us.
Yeah.
To be blunt, if the Bible says it, you need to do it.
Right.
But I want to ask you another question. How can we be obedient to God if we don't know what the Bible says? If we don't know what he's saying? So if we don't know what he's saying, we've got a problem. How can we know what he's saying if we don't understand the Bible?
Yeah.
How can we understand the Bible if we don't study it?
Yeah. Right.
How can we study the Bible if we don't actually pick it up and read it?
Yeah.
Right.
You get the point? If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to read your Bible. You've got to study your Bible. You've got to understand it. You've got to know what God's saying. And you've got to do what he says.
Right.
Which sounds a bit dogmatic, but it's the truth. And if you don't know what God's saying, go and pick up your Bible.
Right.
and start reading it. And you might not get the answer straight away, but the more you read it and the more you understand it, the more God reveals more of his plan and his purpose for the world and for your life and for our church. And the more you can actually get on the right path. But it's got to start with picking up your Bible. And I'm saying that as someone who sometimes struggles to pick up my Bible. And there are so many other things taking my time away and juggling my time that I find it hard. Yeah. But I know that if I'm committed to following Jesus, I've got to be committed to the Bible. You know, I went and got myself a new Bible this week. I worked out that the last time I bought a Bible was 1998, I think it was. And you may have seen my normal Bible, which I get up when I'm preaching, and it's an NIV study Bible. And you wouldn't know that because it's held together with black gaffer tape that I nicked out of the PA box when we were at St. Michael's. And I wrapped it round, covered the whole cover just to try and get it to hold it all together. It's such a well-used Bible that when you pick it up, everything up to Genesis 18 falls out of the front of it. And all of the concordance and the notes fall out of the back. So I know it's a well-used Bible. But do you know what? I've not actually invested in a new Bible since 1998. I've probably had four different guitars. But I've had one Bible. And you could say, well, that's really good that you've stuck with it. But do you know what? It isn't really good. It makes me think, actually, I need to probably get out of a bit of a rut and read something different. So I bought a different translation. I bought a New King James, which I've not had for a long time. And just started reading something different. Are you committed to picking up your Bible? Are you committed to actually, if you're investing that much time in your other hobbies, can you spare 30 quid for a new Bible if you haven't got one? Yeah. And if you haven't got a Bible and you haven't got the money, here's a little tip from me to you. Pray about it, but don't ask anybody. Because when God answers it, it'll be amazing. Yeah. And then you can stand up here and you can tell everyone how you needed a Bible and God gave you one. Because that's a great testimony. So do you know what? If your life feels a bit boring, do something like that and you'll have some more exciting stories to tell. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. So we've got to be committed to follow Jesus' teaching. That was number two. I kind of waffled on a bit on a tangent at that point, but that was number two, follow Jesus' teachings. Number three, we should bear fruit. Yeah. John 15, verse 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If I remain in you, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Right. We can't do it in our own strength. And that's where we need the Holy Spirit. We need that equipping to help us to be a good disciple. Right. In the natural, I'm rubbish at reading my Bible. In the natural, I'm rubbish at waking up in the morning to be able to read my Bible. In fact, whenever I go away, like me and Joe went away to a conference this week, whenever I go away, I panic that I'm going to oversleep. Because for the last however many years, every morning Diane wakes me up if I oversleep. Yeah. It's a brilliant alarm clock. But there is that kind of worry that whenever she's not there, what am I going to do? So in the natural, I'm not very good in the mornings. In the natural, my first place isn't pick up my Bible. In the natural, I get distracted. In the natural, there are nights when I plan to read the Bible and play on my PlayStation. In the natural, there are times when I try and read my Bible and fall asleep. In the natural, there are times when I sit down to pray and spend my whole time thinking about what drum kit I like. In the natural, there are so many things that I can't control. Right. But in the spiritual, the Holy Spirit equips you to do I say all things, but we've talked about that one a minute ago, didn't we? Yeah. The Holy Spirit equips us. We should bear fruit because the Holy Spirit helps us to bear fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, that means we're not actually demonstrating good stuff that Jesus is doing through us. Are we a disciple? Or are we just a Christian who's kind of going along with the status quo? Are we a disciple? So that was point number three. Number four, and this one I find is quite a challenge as well. Number four, we need to love other disciples.
Yes, we do.
Let me read another verse to you. And we're going to read from John 13, looking at 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. Loving other Christians is evidence in our lives that we are disciples. There are times when we might not like people or might not like what they've done, or maybe they've offended us, or maybe we're frustrated. But what should overflow from us is love for them.
Yeah.
Doesn't always feel easy. There are times when, you know, I don't know, we come along to band practice and the song doesn't go smoothly first time, when I'm there thinking, I'm really frustrated with someone, but I'm going to love them. And there's a challenge there. Or yeah, some nods from the band there, which I thought was encouraging that it's not just me. So do you know what? There are times when you get frustrated with other Christians or other disciples, but do you love them? Do you love them? And as much as you might get really angry that they've done something that winds you up, if they needed you, would you be there?
Right.
Do you love them?
Yeah.
Because loving other disciples is evidence that we are a disciple ourselves.
Yeah.
Let me read another passage to you. There's quite a few. So Philippians 2, 3 and 4. And I want to read from the Message. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made a difference, made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. I like, yeah, thank you for that introduction, Matt. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front.
Yeah.
Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead.
Yeah.
Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand.
Yeah.
Do we love each other?
Right.
We don't always have to agree. But sometimes, do you know what? Sometimes my way of doing something, I'm going to put over here. Because I don't need to be the one that makes those decisions. You've only got to come down on a Sunday morning and listen to the debates about how the chairs should be organized to know that out of five people, do you know what? It works when four people lay aside their idea and they go with the one person that knows how to do it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you now, that I find that hard to not want to be the one person that knows how to do it. Because for years, I was the one person that did it all, and now I'm not. Are you going to put aside your own ideas? They might be great ideas to serve other people's idea. Do you know, as an elder, there are times when I have to put aside my own idea, my own agenda, to serve what Joe wants to bring to the church. If you serve in a team, are you prepared to put aside your way of wanting to do stuff to serve the vision of the person leading that team? Whether it's which way the mug handles go when you lay the cups out, or whether it's how many bars we play before the bridge. Whatever it's going to be, are you prepared to set aside your own agenda for what God is calling you to do?
Right.
Number five, we should be making disciples of others. Another verse for you, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, says this: Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave this charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you.
Yeah.
So it's one thing going, hey, do you know what? Jesus is awesome. Jesus is brilliant. Why don't you come along to my church and learn about how Jesus changed my life? That is great. But if you want to be a disciple, you've not only got to do that, but actually what you've got to do is you've got to understand the Bible and you've got to love people so that actually when they go, do you know what? This is brilliant. I also agree this is brilliant. I want to follow Jesus. That you're there to help them know what to do. Because they won't know what to do, because no one's ever told them. Yeah. So we got to be disciple makers. We've got to be evangelists. Doesn't mean we've got to get up and preach at the front, but we've got to tell people about Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. That's not the end. You know, the great news in that is that your job as a disciple is not to make Jesus sound good. Do you understand that? Your job is not to make Jesus sound good.
Right.
God is good. Yeah. Jesus is good. Yeah. It's not your job to make him sound cool or relevant or exciting. Jesus is all of those things.
Right.
It's all we've got to do is tell them.
Yeah.
We've got to tell them what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And if we do that, the Bible can speak for itself.
Yeah.
Right.
You want to be a disciple? Do you know what? God's brilliant. Mm. You don't even have to have the clever words to say it. Do you know what? I found Jesus. It changed my life. Do you want to find out about it? If you do, come to my church. It doesn't have to be elegant, but if you want to be a disciple, you're going to have to do it. You could be a Christian. But can you be a disciple if you're not sharing your faith with other people?
Right.
Have a think about that for a minute. Okay, so they were the five things. Hopefully you've written them down, because I know I've probably gone through them quite quickly. And they're all great. But I want you to understand that being a disciple actually also has some costs. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
And I want to just tell you about some of the costs of being a disciple, and then we'll wrap it up because I'm looking at the time. So, you want to write these down. Four costs of being a disciple. Number one, did you know that there's a cost of service? Let me tell you where I got that from. It says this in Luke 14, 25 to 33. It says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate their father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate how much it's going to cost? And see if you've got enough money before you start it. For if you lay the foundation and you're not able to finish it, everyone's going to see you and ridicule you. And they're going to say, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish it. Or suppose a king is about to go to war with another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able to send 10,000 men opposed to the one coming against them with 20,000? If he's not able to, he'll send a delegation while the other is still long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. So I'm going to move quite quickly. Cost of service. Do you know what? There is a cost of service. The cost of service in that example is a really hard one to understand. Hang on. So God, do you want me to hate people? That's not very biblical, is it? How can I hate my family? I thought I'm meant to love my family. I'm sure there's somewhere in the Bible about husbands loving their wives. How can I love them and hate them? And I want to give you a little example. And we'll be very quick in this. So I need two volunteers. Any volunteers? Okay, thank you, and two. Do you want to come up? That's great. Okay, just for the purpose of this example, I'm going to pick on Math because he won't get offended by what I'm about to say. Math, go and stand over there by the radiator for me, please.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you don't have to face the wall. You're not in trouble. You can face the front. Can I just ask you to come over here a little bit? Okay, now what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to picture a line going here. And over at this end of the line is love. And then down here is my good friend Math, who represents hate. Now, I don't really hate you, Math, it's okay. So we've got this line, love and hate. And you see, the thing that really challenged me is actually, I know that over here is love, and I know that down there is hate, but where's God on the line? Because surely I love God more than I might love somebody else. So this is how I see it. You see, imagine that this line kind of keeps going, and this is how much more I should love God, that I'm all the way over here. Do you know what? From here, if I look down this line, do you know what I see? I see two people who look quite close together. I don't see two people with a massive gap between love and hate. From over here, they both look like they're down the other end. So I might love someone who's at the end of that human line, but for me, do you know what? I should be loving God so much more that from where I am over there, this all looks like hate, because God is so much further away down that I love God so much more line that it's different. And so it's that was how I tried to get my head around that. So do you know what? There's a cost of service. There are times where Diane might be here, and there's a time when there's a sacrifice, actually, because do you know what? This stuff I've got to do for God. So there's a cost involved in service. I'm going to go through the next ones very quickly. There's a cost of sacrifice. Sometimes we actually have to put our own desires to one side to serve God. There's a cost of self-assessment. Do you know what? When it talks about in that verse that you look at yourself and say, actually, have I got enough to build this tower? Are we as Christians, are we as disciples looking at ourselves and going, have I got it all together? Have I got what I need? Am I prepared? God wants me to do that. Have I got everything I need to be able to do that? As a disciple, you've got to be prepared to look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I doing a good job? Are there bits that need changing?
Yeah.
So you've got to be prepared to look at yourself. And last of all, in that verse that talked about a strategy, knowing whether to fight or not. Thank you very much. You two can sit down. That's great. Do you have what you need? Are your strategy? Do you need to get help from somebody? There's all manner of different things. Maybe God's called you to do that. You don't necessarily need to do it on your own. What you need to do is you need to know who's going to be there to support you and help you.
Right.
So I'm aware that I went very quickly through all of those things. But I want to end with this. If you want to disciple others, which we are all called to do, there is one thing that you need above everything else to be able to be an effective discipler of other people. And that one thing that you need more than anything else is love.
Right. Yeah.
If love is not your motivation, then maybe that self-assessment, you might want to have a think about that. So, do you know what? When I look at other people in this church, my motivation for helping them is that I love them.
Yeah.
So, do you know what?
Yeah.
I spent the day yesterday with Billy. We went looking at drum kits. So we went to Nottingham because there's nowhere around here. But do you know what? I want to help Billy because Billy wants to learn to play the drums.
Yeah.
What's my motivation for helping Billy? Because I love the guy, because he's been a friend of mine
yeah.
for years now.
Yeah.
And he's been a friend, he's been a part of our family.
Yeah.
When I sacrifice my time to help other people in the church, it's because I love them.
Yeah.
When I sit and I write what I'm writing and get up and deliver what I'm delivering to you now, my motivation is that I love God and I love you guys and I want you to be more mature in your faith than you were when you walked in. My motivation has got to be love. And if your motivation for helping other people in this family is not love, then there's something missing. So love will help you to do all of those things. I have gone over time, so I'm going to stop there. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say a little prayer. If you know that something that I said this morning, you know that there's one of those things where you go think, I don't, am I a disciple? Maybe you're questioning, actually, is there something that you've got to get sorted? I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. So I'm going to pray. You know, if you're like, God, help me to love people more. Help me to put my agenda aside. Help me to serve you. Help me to read my Bible. Any of those things, then, Richard, could you get up from me? Then, if that's you, then I'd just like you to all close your eyes. and with everyone's eyes closed, if you know that there's something that I've said, I'd like you to just put your hand up for a minute. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. That's amazing. That's awesome. Just give you a few more seconds if there's someone else that hasn't responded. Fantastic. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that you call us all to be disciples. God, I thank you for the honor that it is to love and to serve you. Jesus, I thank you that you taught us through the Bible how to be a great disciple. And Lord, I pray for everybody who's responded this morning. I pray that whatever it is that they're struggling with, that you would speak to them, Lord, that you would encourage them and you would help them to grow in their faith and in their maturity. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you were someone that just put your hand up, I want to encourage you to do one more thing. If you're in a connect group and you responded, tell your connect group leader so they know what to be praying for you about. If there's something you know you need to work on. If you're not in a connect group, then come and speak to Joe and find a connect group and share what you're struggling with other people. Because you know what? We're all here to love each other, to encourage each other, and to support each other. Thank you, guys. God bless.